Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. You're back.
I am reluctantly back. Welcome to episode 156 of the Groom Pod, recorded on March 11th, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This episode is sponsored by Stazco Products, featuring the famous Stazco Conditioning Spray. Find them online and at your favorite distributors. This week on the Groom Pod, we are going to ask the question, do you condition every dog? We'll learn about humectants, and we will discuss the importance of vacations. So you can join our discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Subscribe to the Groom Pod wherever you get podcasts, including Stitcher and iTunes and Google Play. You can find all things Groom Pod related at our website, www.thegroompod.com. And that includes our Amazon banner, donation button, and the Patreon button. Remember to share us with all your grooming pals and support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. Barbara Bird, I had the most spectacular time on my little mini vacation. It was fabulous. Can I tell you about it?
Oh, please do. I've been waiting to hear.
Okay, so we went to Knott's Berry Farm and to Magic Mountain, two Southern California amusement parks with lots of roller coasters. And I got this new app for my phone that's kind of a roller coaster counter. So I had a good time playing Pokemon and then putting roller coasters in my roller coaster counter. We did 10 roller coasters. Actually, it counts rides, not roller coasters, so it counts rides. So there are other rides involved here. But we did 10 rides on the first day at Knott's Berry Farm. It was empty. We had dinner at Mrs. Knott's Chicken Dinner Restaurant. And it was spectacular. We ate the chicken dumplings because we had the fried chicken last time. And there's just so much food. I can't tell you how much food there is. It was delicious. But the highlight of the trip was the very next day. And that was our big trip up to Magic Mountain. Magic Mountain is the coaster capital of the world. There are 18 roller coasters in this
one.
Oh,
my God.
And Magic Mountain is way up north. It's 58 miles from the Knott's Berry Farm. The little Best Post Inn hotel that we stay at Knott's Berry Farm. And so we went out in the morning. We were meeting a childhood friend and her, a girl I worked with at Pet Care, and her mom. So there were three people coming to meet us up there at Magic Mountain. And my friend and I, who do the Berry Blast, were up there as well. So we got in a car and we drove 58 miles to get to Magic Mountain in the morning. It took us 2 hours because that's how it works there. LA traffic.
Okay.
It was 75 degrees.
Yes.
It was a little windy and there were hardly any people in the parking lot. So we pulled in and we walked in and we met our pals and we rode the most amazing roller coasters. Just fantastic roller coasters. I hadn't been there for like 10 years. And the last time I was there, there were a gazillion people there. So we didn't get to ride everything I wanted to. But now the ride I wanted to ride the most is called Twisted Colossus. And it is a rebuilt wooden roller coaster that's now a wood steel combination that was redone by one of the big roller coaster manufacturers that's very trendy right now. Mm-hmm. It was closed. It was closed all day.
What a disappointment.
Yeah, there were like 16 other ones that, you know, made up the difference. But still, I was kind of bummed about that. It does mean I have to go back.
Oh, dear.
I know. Woe is me. Plus, I got an extra parking pass, too. So I'll need to use that before the year is out. So anyway, it was, we did get to look at it, but it's a really cool racing, old traditional roller coaster. As a matter of fact, it's the one you see in National Lampoon's Vacation. It's the roller coaster they show with John Candy and the family in it. That's the same roller coaster, but it's all been redone. Anyway, not open. The two challenges I had put up for myself are Goliath and Tatsu. Goliath is 255 foot tall roller coaster, just a traditional roller coaster with a lap bar, no restraints over your shoulders. And it's just really big. It's really tall. And the height of it scared me. But I did it, right? We went up there, we got in the last car, and we rode it. But there was a little tricky part in it. Halfway through, about three quarters of the height, there is a mid-run brake stop. So it comes up to a platform, and the car slows down, and then they let it continue on. Well, we stopped up there. My biggest fears all came rushing forward at this moment as I'm sitting about 200 feet up in the air. The whole structure is slightly swaying.
Oh, my God.
And the guy in front of us says, I think we're going to do a rollback, which in roller coaster terms mean that the coaster doesn't have enough inertia to get up and over the hill and through the brake stop. And instead, it rolls backwards down the hill and goes backwards through the track, which is unusual. It's like a golden ticket if it happens to you. But it is also extremely scary. It didn't occur to me that there was going to be a rollback. What I thought was even worse was that it was broken down. They had stopped us up there. I was going to have to get out on that platform, hook the safety thing on, hook up to the cable, and walk down that hill. Just as these thoughts were occurring to me, the car rolled forward and we went through the rest of the course, and it was really amazing. And I got off and I just wanted to go again and again and again, but there were other coasters. We had to keep moving. So the second coaster that was a big challenge to me is a coaster called Tatsu, and it's a B&M flying coaster. So you sit in a seat, the track is above you, right? And you're in a seat underneath, and then the floor drops out, shifts, and you go through flying like Superman. It is an intense feeling. It's the second scariest coaster, because the first scariest is Manta in SeaWorld Orlando, and it's the same type of coaster, only the loop is just slightly bigger. The thing about the loop is you come up and over the top of the loop and down and through the loop on your back, and it's the weirdest feeling. So you're scooting along, you go forward over the top and through your back, and the G-force is holding you down. You think you're going to die, but it is exhilarating. Oh, fantastic. And because it's slightly smaller and the terrain at Magic Mountain is all treed and stuff, it was a little bit easier to take than Manta at SeaWorld. I wanted to do it again, but once again, we ran out of time. The third coolest coaster there, and then I'll stop with the coaster talk because I could go on for, well, I have a whole nother podcast for that. It's called The Berry Blast, in case you're interested. The third coaster was Full Throttle. Full Throttle is a linear magnetic launch coaster. So it's got a magnetic launch, you know, positive, negative magnets shoot you through at a gazillion miles an hour, in this case, 77 miles an hour. And it has a couple little surprises in it that pretty good about hiding. First of all, the ride operators are very sneaky. So you're sitting in the car and you know it's going to launch you at 77 miles an hour, and they do a countdown. And the countdown goes like this, at least in our case. 10, 9, 1, shoot. No case was I ready to go out the door. But it shoots you up into this massive elliptical loop. The loop on Tatsu, the round loop, is completely a round loop. This one is an elliptical loop. So you go up into the elliptical loop at 77 miles an hour, and your inertia slows as you get to the top of the loop. But what you don't know is there's actually a magnetic brake on the top of the loop. So you get through the loop, and it stops for a good three count at the top of the loop, upside down, just hanging there. Surprise!
Oh! Can I say fuck?
Then it lets you go, and you go through the rest of the course, and you wind down, and you go through this weird little spiky curly Q thing, and then you come into a tunnel, and the car stops again. So, of course, you know it's going to launch you at least one, maybe two more times, right? What you don't know is it launches you backwards. So you shoot out backwards, and it winds up backwards up the spiky thing, and then you hang there up the spiky thing, and then it drops you back down, and then it shoots you out through the tunnel again, whoomp, and you finish the rest of the thing at 77 miles an hour. wow. That's all I can say is wow. Oh my God, my heart was racing. My hands were sweating and I just could not. We had to go again. We went again. That was just, it was too much fun. So in one day, we got in 17 rides. Now, here's the cool thing. Then we went back to Knott's Berry Farm the next day before we flew out and we did another 10 over there. Apparently, my friend has one of those Fitbit things on her wrist that counts how many steps you walk. So the first day, we did over 18,000 steps. The second day, over 20,000 steps. Wow. So I really don't know what that translates into mileage, but it was a lot of mileage. My feet felt fantastic because I have those ankle braces on now. Mm-hmm. And I was ready to run, but I broke everybody else. Everybody else was broken. Even Anne was broken by the time we were done at Magic Mountain. I could see it in their eyes. They're like, enough, enough. Let's go eat. But I got rejuvenated. I rode rides that I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I spend a lot of time riding rides that I've ridden before. In this case, there were rides there that I had never ridden. And there was a like shaken baby syndrome rides and, you know, fantastic smooth rides. And then there were some rides that were closed, like I said, including Twisted Colossus, and also the Green Lantern was closed, which is a wing rider that I really wanted to ride. But enough about me. What's going on with you, Barbara?
Well, I can't match that.
No one can. No, that's my point.
You know, you are an adrenaline junkie.
I guess.
You are an adrenaline junkie because I can't imagine the adrenaline that gets pumped through you on those rides. I couldn't do it, Susie. There's not a patty enough.
It makes me feel alive. It makes every cell in my body feel alive.
Well, God bless. You know, I don't know what it would make me feel. It's not that I've done roller coasters, but I am by no means. I can't even tell you what they, you know, everything there is to know. I'm amazed.
I could tell you the names of the elements, who built the cars, how fast they go, how high it is, how many elements are in each ride, where it lists in my top 10. And now I have a coaster counter. I'm in coaster heaven. I'm truly a real coaster girl nerd. I have to admit.
Yeah, well, my life is so mundane compared to that. No, I didn't. Nothing. An interesting little factoid that I ran into, a little industry intrigue.
Yes.
Are you ready for it? So remember, in our discussion of the pet tablets.
How could I forget? We've been doing it for like a month and a half now.
Well, there's a little development.
Oh, really?
So remember that there were two products on sale, the Nagayu tablets and then the pet grooming tablets.
Right.
Well, guess what? The pet grooming tablets have disappeared.
No way.
They are gone.
I wonder if they're being sued.
Clearly. And what was interesting was that the man, the name on the pet grooming tablets was the original copyright patent holder that I ran into. So somehow he's gotten pushed out. So the pet grooming tablets, the website is gone. On Amazon, they're out of stock. Don't know if they will be replaced. Even the Singapore shopping site, it's still up, but there's no stock, out of stock on eBay, out of stock everywhere. There's something going on in Japan. Something going on. Okay. No, there's something going on inside there. There's been a breakup. There seems to have been a breakup and somebody launched their own thing. And the tablet, remember, the tablet had a difference. One had a surfactant, the other had lactic acid.
Right. And so they should be able to fight this if they want to.
Yeah, but I don't know why all of a sudden everything's down. Everything's gone. The website is gone.
Well, shoot.
And so shoot, you know, but interesting. I it's one of those things I wish I could dig into. It's just fascinating little intrigue. And we'll have to kind of stay tuned in there. Well, and the other thing is I did use the tablets on the two Cockers, one that I used before, but she came in and her ears were just raging red itchy. So she did itch after the shampoo and rinse. This is just a poor dog that's just had a hell of a life, just beleaguered by these skin problems.
Well, talk about amazing products. That Lisa Leedy Miracle Ear Elixir.
Yes.
That stuff is really making a difference in some of my dog's ears. And I'm not even using it in between, just once a month grooming. And I'm seeing happier, healthier, less angry, less scarred ears.
I'd love that stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah. Jensen Violet in there is the secret weapon, the secret ingredient. It's really a healing, tissue healing ingredient. So yeah, that's a good formula. And yeah, I'm happy you're seeing results.
Yeah, it's neat. I'm going to have to buy some more.
So I had another Milton grooming, a successful Milton grooming. And I've got to get a video of my technique of holding the treat in his mouth with one hand and scissoring the eyebrows with another, because he was perfectly all right with it. This, you know, this is a screamer flailer we couldn't get around the eyebrows. But, you know, I found the freeze-dried chicken tenders.
Yes.
Which are nice and solid, and I can hold them and not get my thumb in his mouth. And he just munches on that while I scissor around his eyes. And I used this time I used one of those half a bubble type
air muzzle.
Yeah, I used that on him. So we didn't have to actually shut his mouth. We just protected ourselves from him. Anyway, it went very well. It got the best grooming ever. So I'm seeing progress, and I want to thank you for your coaching with Milton. And
I think this is so exciting. This is what happens if you work around and give him a chance. And you know, the beauty of the dog mind is it doesn't appear to be able to think of two things at once very well. It's kind of linear in that respect. So if the dog is thinking treats and you manage to do the head like for three or four appointments, all of a sudden, if you have no treat, you can do the head because he's used to it again. It's so gratifying. That's so gratifying. I love that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh, just glow.
So what's up for today?
Well, you know what else? I have a couple other things.
Okay.
It turns out that, well, being in California made my fingers a lot happier.
Yeah.
That was interesting. But what I found out the week before is it's probably not the chips.
Okay.
Because this hand went ballistic and this hand was fine and I was still eating the chips.
Well, you know what I had for dinner last night?
What?
White wine and Chex Mix.
Oh, yum. I mean, the Chex Mix part anyway. That's pretty awful.
And they now they have a dessert. They have a chocolate covered Chex.
Yes. Yeah.
So I had main course Chex Mix and dessert Chex Mix. Several glasses of white wine, and that was good enough for me.
Yeah, I totally get it.
So, you know, like snacks for dinner. Well, that's what happens when you live alone.
I know.
You know.
So after I'm done here,
yes,
I have to go to do a golden retriever that I've been doing since he was a puppy. And he and his brother, I think I'm fairly certain that I can mention this here because I don't think there's any way in a gazillion years they're going to listen. But they are like, they're two big, gigantic gay men. I mean, yeah. Round. I hate to say it. They look like Tweedledee and Tweedledum or two Humpty Dumpties. I'm not sure. I love them dearly. They have been married and now they are divorced, and one of the dogs has passed and the other dog is still alive, but he is very unsteady and we haven't groomed him for the last 6 months because we kept thinking he probably couldn't take it. But his nails are now curled around and they can't do them. So I'm going to go over and we're going to shave Bubba on the floor of the house. I'm just going to lay him down on the floor, bring my clipper back in, and I'm going to shave all his hair off so that he can be more comfortable. He's a dog who's been shaved his whole life. They never really did grow in thick. Some bad hair growth a couple times during their lifetime, but we've shaved them every 3 months since they were probably a year old. So I'm going to go do a shave on him and clean him up. And I'm trying to decide whether to try and bathe him or not. I've got three options. I have the dry bath option, but his butt is a little bit dirty. I'm not sure if I can complete a good dry bath on the back end of the dog. If I can, especially after cutting everything off back there, if I can just do a cleanup back there and a dry bath, that would be my best option, because I suspect he's going to be a little panicky. I think he's losing some of his senses. The second option would be to have, because he can't really walk all the way out to the trailer, is have either Tweedledee or Tweedledum carry him out to the trailer, because they're both going to be there, even though one has moved out and they've divorced. He'll have him carry him out to the tub, which he can't really lay down very well in either the tub or even in the tub in the house. But I could also do it in the tub in the house option. But there's no sprayer, so I'll have to disconnect my bathing system and take it in the house. So I thought I would just kind of play it by ear and get everything I can do without a bath done and see how he feels at that point. And then, the biggest issue is the nails. And if I do the nails and kind of get him trimmed up and he is not horribly stinky and I can clean up his butt enough, I think that's good enough. Don't you?
I think so. I would use a dry shampoo on the body and a rinseless spray on the butt. That's my recommendation. I get good results with the Clean Freak, not your mother's Clean Freak dry shampoo. I like that stuff so much.
Is that from Sally?
No, I found it at Fry's, two canisters for $9. So that was a good price.
That is a good price.
You can find it at Walgreens.
Okay, I'll stop there.
Yeah, and it's effective. And the thing of it is, you spray it on, you've got to leave it on for a couple of minutes in order for it to absorb the oils and stuff. And then you use a brush to kind of brush it out. I use a boar bristle brush to kind of brush it out. But it smells great, and it really does freshen the coat and remove some excess stuff. So that's what I would do.
Would my wooden pin brush work to brush it out, or do I need to bring a more human-y brush?
I would use a more human-y brush.
Okay, I have a few here.
The brush that I like the best, I get from Sally's, and it's a double-headed bristle brush on a wooden handle, and one side is stiff and the other is softer.
Okay.
It's a great brush to have on hand, by the way.
Sounds good. All right. Well, let's take a break really quickly here, and then we will be back with our first appointment, which is a discussion about conditioning dogs. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
On our Facebook group, someone asked the question, do you condition every dog? And because I am mobile and because conditioner equals time for me, I have gone like the first 8 years of mobile grooming without conditioning every dog, only conditioning when I really felt I needed to. But you have changed my opinion on that. You and the fact that there are newer products available that don't add that much drying time, if any at all. Some even speed up drying time. So what's your feeling on this whole do you condition every dog thing?
I steer away from always and nevers.
Good point.
You know, I remember when it was never. I remember when I first started bathing, they didn't even have a conditioner. And I had been showing Laza Opsos with my mom. If you have Laza Opsos and you never use a conditioner, you've got matted messes for sure. The pet options were limited.
Right.
Nowadays, the pet conditioning options are much more sophisticated and numerous and more sophisticated. And we now have conditioning ingredients in some of our shampoos. You know, the very lightest conditioning that you can do is a conditioning shampoo. I do think that most coats need to have something to replace what we take off when we, because when we take off dirt, we also take off the sebum, and that leaves the coat without any protection. So then we go on to groom, and grooming is quite an assault to the hair shafts, you know, really. I think that conditioning today requires a much more nuanced approach than all or nothing. You know, it's sort of like, how am I going to treat this coat? How am I going to approach this coat? How am I going to reduce damage from grooming?
Right, the two aspects, reducing the damage that we do and replacing the stuff that we've removed by the shampooing process.
Right, right. So the question becomes really, what products am I going to use? And all of our products are what Chris Christensen would call liquid tools.
Liquid tools, I like that term.
So I love that term because it implies a toolbox.
And we certainly have a lot of different types of tools at our disposal that are liquid.
That are liquid, and that goes for styling products as well. And, and dry shampoo.
Right.
That we just mentioned, you know. So what's in your toolbox? What are you going to have? And what do you use in what kind of a situation? So if you're doing mostly very close clips, let's say 7-blade, 5-blade.
The three rocker comb.
If you're doing that kind of thing, you're kind of removing damage as you go.
Very true.
But if you're grooming a dog with coat, such as a bearded collie, a golden retriever in coat,
so even some of the longer comb cuts.
Longer comb cuts where you're going to want that hair to stay healthy for a period of time, even if it's ears and tail, you're going to want to use some kind of a product to temporarily repair the coat, to fill in the cracks and crevices and gouges and broken cuticle that get caused by ordinary living, rubbing, scratching, itching, combing, brushing, you know, all the things that we do to hair. Everything causes a little bit of damage, and that accumulates. And so if you're trying to do a Maltese like Marco here, and he's not in full coat, but his legs are full and his ears are full and his tail is, and we want to protect that so that he has, that he doesn't just mat up every day. You know?
So if we were going to go like the lightest conditioner you said would be the conditioner that's kind of within your shampoo. Also, spray on after the fact is a pretty lightweight to condition, right?
Spray on after the fact is a lightweight to do it. And there's an issue there about how complete the coverage is when you just are spraying it on. So I believe that if you spray and force dry, that you're distributing the conditioner.
And that's exactly what I do. You've just validated me, Barbara.
So you probably don't get as thorough a coverage with spraying and blow drying as you would with rinsing, especially recirculating. For me, the biggest glory of recirculating bathing systems is in the conditioning, because you're rinsing it through the coat and you can do the lightest, you know, you can do an ounce of conditioner through the whole coat. I remember when I was diluting products, I would have gallon pitchers of my conditioner. I would mix up like 2 to 4 ounces of conditioner in a gallon pitcher and then pour it through and rinse that through the coat and hope that I got down to the skin, you know, and sometimes you would have a fail.
Yeah, it's called rebathe.
Yeah, well, especially with a thick double coat.
Yeah,
because on a thick double coat, you want two things. And it depends. Of course, it depends on whether the coat is for show or for home.
Right.
Because when you're going with a double coat for show, you want maximum volume. And so you don't want to overly soften the coat and the undercoat, because you want that undercoat to help your whole coat stand out. So that's one of the big differences between show grooming and pet grooming of the double coated breeds, is that for show, you want your undercoat thick and firm.
Right.
You know, but for home, you want to soften it so that you can remove the shedding coat and reduce the amount of hair around the home. So there's two things. So then that's where we used to use the refurbish.
The next light way that you can recondition the hair is like Results Rinse, or what's the Australian version?
Pro Groom Crisp.
Yeah. So that's a great conditioner that doesn't add any weight or drying time. In fact, it increases the speed of your drying, doesn't it?
Yes, because it's doing two things. It's helping to close and flatten the hair cuticle of damaged or porous hair, and it's coating the hair shaft with a ultra, ultra light coating of silicone, which creates a smoother, slicker surface so that the water is sheeted off from your power dryer much faster.
It's my go-to.
It's your go-to. It's our go-to as well, which reminds me, I need to order it.
And then we've got the stuff that comes in the gallons that we mix in our recirculator that you dilute at home. Like, those vary too, don't they? Like, the Best Shot stuff doesn't hardly add any drying time.
Well, Best Shot is unique because it does two things. It uses cationic conditioners rather than heavy emollients. So when you're using oils and emollients, that can really increase the weight of what you're coating the hair with, and it can increase the drying time. But when you're using sophisticated chemistry and cationic conditioners that magnetically attach to the hairs evenly throughout without adding hardly any weight at all. And the other thing that Best Shot does is it uses a hydrolyzed wheat protein to fill in the cracks and crevices first. So that helps to kind of build the hair shaft, and then you seal it with a silicone and you dry it.
And out the door it goes.
And out the door it goes. Into the air it flies.
There's still cause to use the thicker stuff too, though, isn't there? Sometimes with more damaged hair? Or are they pretty much going by the wayside at this point?
The heavy re-moisturizer products are kind of less necessary when you're regularly using the other kinds of products.
Okay, so, good, because I don't have any of them in my trailer.
Yeah, I don't use those products hardly anymore either, because when I want to like treat the hair, what I'm doing these days is a protein treatment, which is like what I just said, you know,
fills in all the gaps. Better living through education and science.
So somebody mentioned on that thread on our Facebook page that they were told to never condition poodles, Bichons, curly coats.
Right.
I find that really interesting because those are porous coats, and those are the coats that most need protection from grooming damage because they've got raised, lifted cuticles. And also two things happen. It's more easy to snag and damage the hair cuticles when they're lifted. And it's more easy to lose moisture from within the hair cortex when the cuticles are lifted, and then you're applying heat and air, and you can end up drying the inside of the hair as well as the outside of the hair. So porous coats are at greatest risk of damage. And they need a little something, but you don't, when you're showing those coats, you really don't want a soft coat. You want it to be bouncy and, you know, have some texture to hold shape.
Right. These products that they weren't available back then, but they are now. So we have so many different options, like the protein filler you were talking about. If you have a really horribly damaged coat, there is the pre-bath kind of conditioning, like happy hair, hot oil treatments.
Hot oil treatment, coconut oil treatment. Happy hair is an olive oil, argan oil, jojoba oil combination. That jojoba oil closely mimics sebum in composition. So it's kind of a desirable because the hair really likes it. So it's a good element to have in there. And the olive oil and argan oil are both high in oleic acid, which is a very hair friendly fatty acid. So they're both desirable for hair care. But here's the deal. We have sophisticated products that are available, but they're not listing their ingredients. So it's really hard for us to know what's going on here. There's a big difference in a conditioner that relies solely on fatty alcohols like cetyl alcohol, cetaryl alcohol, sterol alcohol, and a conditioner that relies heavily on a cationic, such as behendramonium chloride, cetrimonium chloride, sterol conium chloride. Those kinds of things sound real chemically, and they are, but they have great attraction to the hair. So it doesn't take much to thoroughly coat the hair shaft. So we need to know. And then we're just left with selling points.
I saw a shampoo that I didn't know was out there that has full disclosure on their ingredient list, and that's Opage shampoo. I had no idea they made shampoo. I thought they just made color.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. And not be, and since I haven't been to a trade show in a while, I wasn't aware of their development, but I'm very impressed with their development and with the fact that they're fully disclosing their ingredients on their shampoos. What isn't so impressive is that their English website suffers terribly from translation from the, guess it's Korean or Japanese. It looks like somebody just used a translation app.
It's too bad they don't offer these things to you, Barbara, because you could easily translate this stuff for them.
I actually wrote them and offered my services, and I tried to do it in a forthright, non-offensive way, but you know, you just never know when you're kind of dealing with a little cross-culture thing, whether or not I insulted somebody by saying that their website could use some work. And but you know, I'm a natural at that. And who else has the English language editing skills and the knowledge of grooming products?
That's my point.
So nobody else has that. And whoever translated that didn't have either.
Yeah, that's a shame. I am excited. I hope they come to the Northwest show because I really want to try the products. They look good. They look interesting. Plus, they've got a recirculating bathing system.
They're offering is a recirculating bathing system, and they're located in Canada, so Canadian groomers can now have an option. I can't ship a bathing beauty to Canada. Hanvi can ship it, but the shipping is very costly. And so here's Opaws with a recirculating system that you can get in Canada at a decent price.
Neat. I think that's great for our Canadian pals.
With a recirculating system, you can use an ounce of regular conditioner as a conditioning rinse. It's not going to weigh the coat down very much, and it thoroughly gets through all coats.
Yep.
So,
cool.
Yeah, cool.
All right. Well, I saw online some pictures of the Atlanta Pet Fair last week, and the gals from South Park were doing their thing. I saw Donna doing her thing. We love those gals. And let's take a minute to hear from them right now. And then we're going to come back to our school segment. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Okay, Barbara, today's veterinary vocabulary is bactericidal. Bactericidal, what do you think that means?
Kills bacteria.
Oh, right on the nose. You're so smart. That's why I like you. I always figure some of your smart will rub off on me if I hang around close enough to you.
Oh, thank you. You're smart as well.
In different ways, though. Grooming glossary this week is slab-sided. Slab-sided because last week we talked about spring of the ribs, right?
Yeah, this is the opposite.
It is. It's lack of spring of the ribs. So it's flat-sided, like a retriever.
Like a Bedlington Terrier.
Perfect.
Bedlington Terrier is a perfect example of a slab-sided.
All right. Tell me about your definition du jour this week.
Okay, so this week, I've been working on editing my groomer's glossary. That's a part of my book, and I just decided that if I just attacked this one task and updated my grooming glossary, it would be it would almost in itself be worth a new edition of the book. I ran into one of my favorite humectants. So a humectant is basically a substance that attracts and holds moisture.
Those are important for us.
So these are important for us, and they're tricky.
Oh.
Because, Susie, humectants can backfire on you, especially in high humidity situations such as yours. And here is another reason we need to have complete knowledge of what's in conditioners. Because humectants are most likely to be found in shampoos and conditioners, as well as lotions, but for hair. So they have an ability to attract water from the atmosphere. Now, if there's no water in the atmosphere, they also can pull water out of the skin and hair. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
It's either coming from externally, they will attract, and if there's no external to attract, they will pull out water from the skin and hair internally.
But that is tricky.
Yeah, this is a real rabbit hole.
I bet.
I started out, I was just going to tell y'all about sodium PCA. Sodium PCA is a humectant. It's what we call a high performance humectant that holds several times its weight in water with excellent water binding property. And it sounds like just a chemical,
right?
Sodium PCA, but it's actually it's a part of the natural moisturizing factor of the skin. Okay, so it's found in the stratum corneum, and it's probably chemically manufactured or synthesized or duplicated, right?
Right.
It's something that could be considered a natural product, but it looks like it's not. Okay, so it's one to not stray away from. It's actually a very good another common humectant is glycerin.
I see glycerin a lot.
You see glycerin a lot because it's the cheapest effective humectant of all. It has one downside. It can make for tackiness. Now, we don't mean tackiness like poor taste.
No. You mean like sticky, right?
I mean like sticky. Yeah. Tackiness like in sticky. So I'm going to read a little bit of, I'm going to read this to you from an article on the effects of relative humidity on hair and humectants. So this is kind of physics. It's the laws of thermodynamics.
Uh-oh, that's a big word.
Yeah, there we go. Thermodynamics and hair care. Who would have thunk?
Only the chemist.
Okay, so, you know, like So thermodynamics is the study of energy.
Okay.
Everything requires energy. Energy exists in forms such as heat, light, chemical energy, and electrical energy, like ionic energy.
Molecular levels.
Everything in nature is always striving to reach a state of equilibrium or a point of balance. This is an important law to know about. That means that if you change the pH of the skin, it's going to strive to restore the natural balance ASAP. So, you know, that's why anything that we do to the hair in that relationship is temporary. But in nature, everything's always striving to reach a state of equilibrium. Molecules that are highly concentrated in one area will typically move to an area where they're less concentrated until the concentration is equal for both areas. This is called diffusion. The moisture balance is going to operate on the laws of thermodynamics, or diffusion will occur. Dry hair, which contains minimal water, that would be like my hair, when it's exposed to a very humid environment, will eventually become saturated with water molecules as the water diffuses, right, from an area of higher concentration, the humid air, to an area of lower concentration, the hair.
So the equivalent of a container of water and an empty container of water in a little path, that water is going to go in and fill up that space till they're equal.
Right.
Okay, got it.
The example that they give is that if you have a glass of water and you put ink in it, the ink will sink to the bottom of the glass, but then it will, even if you don't stir it, just leave it alone, it will gradually spread upwards from where it's more concentrated at the bottom to where it's less concentrated at the top. And eventually, all the water in the glass will be the same shade of color.
Wow, that's neat. I might have to try that.
Yeah, so that's just a little science experiment. This is important when it comes to hair because the same law applies to reaching a state of equilibrium with moisture molecules. Once hair is exposed to high humidity environments, the cortex can actually swell, causing the cuticle scales on the hair to lift, and that contributes to an effect of frizziness. On the other hand, dry air typically contains little or no water vapor, or it has what's called a low relative humidity. Hair that is exposed to this type of air will tend to lose water and moisture to the atmosphere as the water moves down its concentration amount from the air to the hair. The result is dry, brittle hair, which itself can be prone to frizz. Is just an appearance, really.
Yeah.
You know, but dry, brittle hair can have split ends and more easily breakage. Okay. There's a lot of science behind this, but it's important to know that humectants can be a friend or a foe, and you have to figure in your environment. And there's a general environment of a bathing room tends to be, especially if we're using high velocity dryers and we're force drying or we're blowing air off of the dog into, we're blowing moisture off the dog and into the ear, we're creating a humid environment. So we can create a kind of an overload, a moisture overload in the hair. So moisturizing is good, except when it's not, okay?
Clear as mud.
Clear as mud, you know.
Some of that relies on the formulator, right? And how they put together other things with the humectant, I would assume.
Yeah. So one of the things that I read is that the control of humectants and humidity and moisture in the hair is best done by using a humectant and something that seals the hair and skin.
So it can only go one way?
So it can only go one way, exactly.
Okay.
You know, so that's where silicones come in.
Oh.
Well, silicones are the lightest weight possible sealant for coat and skin. I mean, there are other sealants, like there are other occlusives which seal, like petroleum, you know, like Vaseline. And actually, that's used. Petrolatum is used as a conditioning ingredient. And it's what I suspect was in the original refurbish.
Oh, really?
I do. I suspect that. And I suspect that that's one of the reasons it took that product forever to dry.
Boy, did it ever. Oh, what a nightmare. Bad memories there, Barbara.
Well, I know. Anytime, it is a bad dream when you get into a situation where you can't freaking dry a coat.
Yep. You know? No matter what you try.
You know, and that happens with Cocker Spaniel coat a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is this coat ever going to dry? Can drying Cocker ears, it can just be agonizing.
Yeah, you have to get into the Zen state.
You absolutely have to. I even counting, you know, like, come on, you know, and I have less of that because I live in a dry climate. So I'm blessed in a way that it's hard for me to oversaturate my air because it's, you know, like 10% humidity. You know, where you're the opposite,
you're in
the 90% humidity kind of thing. But I think we need to dig a little deeper into this humectant and environmental humidity issue until I can understand it myself a little better. But it's very interesting. Propylene glycol, by the way, is another common humectant that's found in our products, and it is a synthetic always, but it absorbs as much moisture, it holds as much moisture as glycerin without the tackiness problem.
So last week, being Atlanta Pet Fair, I heard that there were a few of you guys who did stop by the Evolution Shears booth and talk to Chris and let her know that you'd heard it on the Groom Pod. And I am just committed to those swivel thumbs, the double swivel, like Barbara was saying last time you were on the air. That double swivel really makes all the difference in the world. And I also have to say they are really well constructed. Nice shears. And I love that they're sponsors of the Groom Pod. How are you doing with yours?
Oh, I'm still chugging away. I still have a problem when I hold the scissors straight down that I don't have in the swivel thumb. I don't have the control that I'm used to having. In other words, my scissors are flopping back and forth rather than staying in that line that I'm trying to create. So it makes for a challenge. And I'm working on that.
Yeah. And I wonder, for me, if I'd have had a longer pair, if that would have made that control a little more obvious, you know, because the longer the shear, the more it bounces at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe because I'm using some fairly short ones, it makes it less obvious to me. But I do notice a little bit of funny control there down at the end. But I sure do like them. I sure do find that I reach for them more often than not. And if you guys would like your very own pair of Evolution Shears, you can find them at evolutionshears.com, or you can call 877-560-3057. And if you ask for Chris, remember to tell her that the Groom Pod sent you.
Remember that swivel thumb shears are an important preventative tool. You're using them to prevent the problems that Susie and I already have with our hands and our thumbs, you know?
Don't wait till you start hurting. do it before.
Yeah, I think everybody should try to master a swivel and have it available and use it. That's the trick. You're not going to get comfortable using a swivel unless you use it a lot.
Very true. I went a good month with making them the only shears I was picking up, you know, the straights and the curves when I was finishing, so that I really got a handle on them. I do like them. I like them a lot. I'm happy to have them. They definitely have found their spot in my scissor rack. And I found a way to have them in my scissor rack. Oh. Okay. Now we're going to hear from Amazon. Well, we won't hear from Amazon. We're going to hear from me about Amazon. Then we're going to go to our At the Table segment, which is all about the importance of vacationing.
If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
Well, as you know, Barbara, not only am I the queen of roller coasters, but I am the queen of vacations. And as it turns out, there's like some science to back up the fact that it's good to vacation. You have not been on a vacation for a long time, have you?
Decades.
We got to fix that somehow.
Decades. And you know, when I did my tour of the UK, I had such a wonderful time, and it was rejuvenating, but I worked my ass off the entire time that I was doing that. You know, I was sitting in Ireland on my computer.
Even among people who go on vacation, it turns out that 3 in 5 actually admit to doing work on vacation. So you're not alone, but I don't count those things as vacationing. I have to trick myself. I have to trick myself into not working. I choose vacations where I cannot take my grooming with me, like the amusement parks. I didn't bring any grooming. I didn't even bring nail trimmers. You know, I've always traveled with nail trimmers. Didn't have the nail trimmers even, because I knew there was not going to be any opportunity for me to do any grooming. Same with the cruise ship. Can't groom on the cruise ship. They don't like it. You don't want to bring your dog grooming stuff and start eliciting dog grooming appointments amongst the people who have brought their support dogs on the ship.
They bring their dogs on the ship?
Sometimes. It's rare, but sometimes I've seen a few.
Do you know, did you hear that the airlines are starting to crack down on the support dogs because they've had too many instances of dogs freaking out?
I bet. Dogs are better in a carrier. I think they're just better in a carrier in the cabin, even though I'm guilty of pulling Brandy's dogs out when we're in the cabin. But they fit pretty good under the seat, and they're pretty happy under there. You know, I think that it's a tough situation. I think that the hamster incident was really the crux of that. But
what was that? There was a hamster that got loose on a flight?
No, there was a girl who brought a hamster as her support animal, and they wouldn't let her take it on. So the gate agent sarcastically said, well, you can just flush it down the toilet. And she did. And it got out. And it was viral on the internet that she killed her hamster because they wouldn't let it take it on the plane. And it's creepy and disturbing. And come on, lady, really? A support hamster? You think you're going to get that on the plane? And then you go and kill it? You shouldn't be a pet owner. Aside, needless to say.
Enough said. Good point.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. So that's, I think, was the crux of that. But, you know, people show up with their support turkey. Was it a turkey or a peacock or something like that the other day? I mean, you got to be realistic. Let's cut it back to actual dogs that need to be on the airplane for a real reason. And otherwise, pay for your ticket, check your dog, fly when it's warm or not too hot, or have a small dog and have it go in the cabin, or drive. That's my thought. Because it's just not worth it. The stress for the animal, the stress. And I always wondered, what about people with allergies in the cabin? Mm-hmm. It's great that you need to take your Shar Pei as a protection dog, but the person sitting next to you is going to have hives by the end of the day, even if they're not allergic to dogs. It's just one of those things. And I would love to take my animals everywhere, but there is a limit. Back to the subject at hand.
Right.
So it is important that you plan to take actual vacations, not just grooming vacations. And I, you know, going to a trade show, not a vacation. Going to Barbara's, I'd say that was half vacation. There was half vacation there.
Yeah. We made it that way, didn't we?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
We have a secret recipe for vacationing at home.
Yes. And it works very well, I might add. So I want to give you some actual scientific facts about vacationing that will improve your life. The first one is that it is proven that it is stress reduction. If you take a vacation, if you go and you get back and you go to work, you are going to be at a reduced stress level. And clumped into that is the fact that you're not going to have stress headaches or stress body aches or any of that stuff. It's not just the feeling of stress. It's actually a physical reaction. Stress is a physical thing in your body. And if you can do less to prevent it, if you can do
more to prevent it.
Thank you. If you can do more to prevent stress and have less of it in your body, you'll live longer. It's stress kills. It's just one of those things. The second thing that kills is heart disease, and vacationing prevents heart disease. I like
that. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
Ah. Very cool. It says that people who vacation 5 years in a row, I'm guilty of that. I make sure that I have vacations every year, and I've done it for a lot longer than 5 years. They actually have a 30% less chance of a heart attack.
Yeehaw.
I know, that's like money in the bank.
That's a big percentage.
That is a big percentage. And if you don't, I like, even for women, if all you do is vacation once every 6 years or less, and how many of us do that because you're taking care of your kids, you're taking care of your husband, you never take time out for yourself. Well, if you don't take time out for yourself and don't do it more often than every 6 years, you are 8 times more likely to develop heart disease.
Whoa.
That's a staggering amount.
Yeah.
If you could just take a vacation, which, hello, is fun, and then you get the benefit of having less heart disease on top of it, I think that's better than eating less salt, don't you?
What about all of the stress that it takes to get away on a vacation?
That's what travel agents are for. They handle the hard stuff. All you got to do is fix your schedule, which, you know, can be complicated. It can be complicated.
And get a pet sitter and get your prescriptions lined up. And what are you going to wear?
All I can say about that is practice makes perfect.
Good point.
Okay. So when you get back from work, you have proven improved productivity. You work faster, you work harder, and you work smarter when you come back from a vacation. That is a great perk because I was having brain fog when I left, and now I'm mostly crystal clear. No, I am more enthusiastic, definitely. I love what I do anyway, but take me away from it, and then knowing that I'm going to come back and groom, I always look forward to it. It makes me more excited about what we do. And then the last thing it gives you is better sleep. And for me, that's very true. I know some people like lay on the beach and they relax and they nod in and out. That is not vacation for me. Vacation for me is 17 roller coasters in one day. So you can imagine when I'm done with that and I get back to the hotel room, I am out like a light.
Just that's so much for me traveling with you.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to stay back at the room and watch the stuff. So,
All right. I don't want to be in the room, but I would like to be on the beach for a little while.
Maybe at the beach or by the pool. You could do that, and I will go adventure around and come back and tell you all of my stories like I did earlier in this podcast. But for the meantime, we are done because we have hit the hour mark and I have to go groom that dog. So that's kind of on my mind. I'm going to skedaddle out of here. Barbara, any fair words of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, you certainly have given me food for thought on the vacation thing. You know, I just got to get away.
Yeah. Something that's un-grooming related. completely not grooming related. I agree. Everybody, you guys do the same out there. Schedule yourself a vacation. Schedule it now for the summer. Now's the time. Mark it in your schedule book. Block yourself out and take a vacation. Thanks for listening, you guys. Let's come back and do it again next week, okay?
I'll be here.
All right. Bye-bye now. Happy grooming.
Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.